John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known."
The second reading comes from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 10, and can be found on page 1006. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Thanks be to God. Oh, no, sorry. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Good on you, Ron. Thank you. It's great to have you here this morning. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the pastors here. Special shout out to the band today. Rachel pointed out to me that they're a girl band. Yeah, I suggested that they were like our Destiny's Child, but didn't go down too well. So if you've got another parallel, you can let me know some other suggestions of what we can call them. But thanks for serving. We're going to spend some time praying now before we open up God's Word. So would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, give us faith to receive your word now. Give us understanding to know what it means. And give us the will to put it into practice through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Last week we began a new series looking at the Christian doctrine of the Trinity, the belief that there is one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As we saw, it's been described as one of the most complicated things humans can ever get their head around. And yet it is also one of the most beautiful, that we serve a God who is Trinity. So we're going to spend the next 3 weeks looking at each of the persons of the Godhead in turn, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Though that is kind of tricky to do. It's hard to talk about just one of them without talking about the other two. Because as we saw last week, all three members of the Trinity very much work together. But this morning we're going to start with what is who is often called the first person of the Trinity, God the Father. There's, of course, been a lot of research done about the importance of having a good father in your life. When you have a good father, a healthy relationship with your father, children and families flourish. We know this. And we know the opposite. When you don't have a good relationship with your father, families suffer. And perhaps you're here this morning and perhaps you did not grow up with a father, or you had a father who was absent, or a relationship with your father that was painful in whatever way. And perhaps the idea of God being a father doesn't sound that good to you at all. It's important that we remember that human fathers are meant to be like the eternal father, not the other way around. We want to start with the perfect eternal Father, God, and not import ideas from our experiences of human fathers who so often fail and import them onto the perfect eternal Father. Does that make sense? When we look at God the Father, we are seeing the Father that none of us ever had, because he is the perfect eternal Father. He's the Father we all need. I wonder if you've ever stopped to ponder how amazing it is that God is a Father. He's not just a creator who made the world and then buzzed off. He's not just a ruler giving us lots of commands that we just got to obey. He's not a policeman watching our every move, waiting to catch us out when we stuff up. He's a Father. It is so unique to the Christian faith that we worship a Father. The theologian J.I. Packer, he said this: if you want to judge how well a person understands Christianity, find out how much he makes of the thought of being God's child and having God as his Father. If this is not the thought that prompts and controls his worship and prayers and his whole outlook on life, it means that he does not understand Christianity very well at all. Is this what you think of when you think about your Christian faith, that you are a child of God, your heavenly Father? And so we've got 2 points this morning. We're going to start by looking at God the Father, and then we're going to look at God our Father. Let's start with firstly God the Father. And Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." For all eternity, God has been a father. He didn't become a father at Christmas time. He already was a father. Which means he's always had a son. The son is described as eternally begotten. That means he never came into existence at some point. He's always been, which means God the Father has always been. And as we saw last week, this is profound. It means love is eternal. There has always been love, because God the Father has always loved God the Son. God the Son has always loved God the Father. For all eternity, love between a father and a son. God is the eternal Father. Now, why is he a father? Could he be a mother? Could he be a mother? Is this just sexist language we have here? Well, firstly, it's not saying that God is a male biologically. God doesn't have chromosomes. He doesn't have male genitalia. He's not a biological male. Now, secondly, there are some moments in the Bible where God is described with motherly language, feminine motherly language. And it's certainly not suggesting that women are in any way less than men or less in the image of God than men. We know that men and women are equally made in the image of God, equally loved, equally valued in the eyes of God. But we do have to respect the language the Bible uses. God has revealed himself as a father. That's the language the scriptures use and God uses and Jesus uses of him. So I don't think we should be in a rush to change it. Jesus called God his father. John chapter 5, it's up on the screen. Jesus said to them, "My father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working." For this reason, they tried all the more to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own father, making himself equal with God. And the fact that Jesus called God his father was controversial. People wanted him dead. Jesus shows us, actually, what God the Father is like. If you want to know what God the Father is like, you look at God the Son. People often tell me that my kids look like me, particularly my two boys, which frustrates my wife. because she always complains that she went through all the work growing those children and then giving birth only for them to look like replicas of me. If you want to know what I'm like, you look at my kids. You can see me in them. And so it is with God the Son. You want to know what God the Father is like? You look at the Son, you look at Jesus. Because he is in very nature God. He reveals to us what God the Father is like. We would otherwise be in the dark if it were not for Jesus. That's what John chapter 1 says. It says, no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. How wonderful that we can know the Father. We can know the way to the Father. We can know about the Father. We can know who he is because of Jesus. And we're in some ways drawn into the relationship that the Son has with the Father for all eternity. We're drawn into it by trusting Jesus and by the Spirit's work in our lives so that we can know the eternal, the perfect, the loving God. Our God is Father. That is so unique, friends. There is no one like our God, that we worship a Father. But he's not just the Father. He is our Father. He's our Father. 1 John chapter 3. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. That is your identity this morning as a Christian. You are a child of God. Just to make it extra clear, John says that is what you are. He just repeats it. That is who you are. Because of Jesus' work at the cross, because he died for your sins and paid the price, he has brought you back to the Father. You are a child of God. And it cost God to make you his child. It cost God his very own Son. It's like you've been adopted, but the adoption papers are signed in his blood. And you were adopted in. To be adopted means you weren't originally, naturally part of God's family. But we've been adopted in, and so that legally and in every respect, we are treated just like a child. We are adopted. We belong. It's a beautiful picture. Human adoption points to the glorious thing that God has done for us. Made his child. It gives us great security because it's not like God's a boss and we're just employees. If that was true, we could get fired if we didn't perform. It's not that God's a slave, a master, and we're slaves and that we just have to begrudgingly try and earn his love. He's a father. He's a father and we're children. How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. Here's what it means to have God as your Father. It means lots of things, but here's four. To be a Christian, to have God as your Father means you have a Father who listens. Who listens. If you remember last week, we saw praying is Trinitarian. We pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, the Son, in the power of the Holy Spirit. We're able to pray. I don't mean you have to understand that to be able to pray. Anyone can pray. But you've got to know that's going on in the background. When you pray, We are able to pray and have access to God the Father because of Jesus the Son. I love how when Jesus teaches us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, how does it begin? Our Father in heaven. That's how we approach God, as a child coming before a dad. I have this distinct memory from when I was a kid, of when I was ringing my dad while he was at work. This was the days before mobile phones. I know I look young, but yeah, I am that old. I remember that. I had to call his reception, and the receptionist answered and said, and I was probably trained by my mum to say, "I'd like to talk to Peter West, please." The receptionist said, "I'm very sorry, he's very busy. He's in a really important meeting. Can I get him to call you back?" And I responded and said, "That's fine. Tell him it's his son." Immediately, the tone of the receptionist changed. She said, "Oh, you're his son. Would you like me to go and get him?" In that moment, I felt so special. Because I had access that trumped whoever he was meeting with. Because I was the child. We have a God in heaven who's never too busy to hear our prayers. Never too busy for your problems. Always ready to listen. You can bring before him all the things that you're loving about your day. The things that are annoying you. The things that you're worried about. The questions you have. Things you're scared of. And unlike me with my kids, I'm often distracted or I'm busy, but our God in heaven is never too busy. And I love how he's our Father in heaven. So you could just have a father who loves you but can't do anything about your problems. But the fact that he's our Father in heaven, it gives us intimacy and authority. Intimacy is our Father. Authority, he's in heaven. He's a God who loves us and can do something about our problems. What a privilege to pray like children to God the Father. What access we have through Jesus' death on the cross. Secondly, God is our Father who provides. He's our Father who provides. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 6. "Do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things. And your Father, your heavenly Father, knows that you need them." We're always worrying, aren't we? We're worrying about how we're going to pay our mortgage. We're worried, are we going to have enough food? Are we going to pass this exam? How are we going to do this new job? We worry, we worry, we worry. And Jesus says, "Do not worry. You have a heavenly Father who loves you. He knows exactly what you need." In fact, God, our Heavenly Father, loves to spoil us. He lavishes upon us good things. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, "Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? And if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" If you spoke to my 5-year-old and my 4-year-old, you might get the impression that I am a stingy dad. We were on holidays a few weeks ago and we had spoiled them so much this particular day. They'd had ice cream in the morning, you know, before lunch. It was holidays. They had chips for lunch. You know, we paid for their holiday. They never said thanks for that. we're taking them to a zoo. And on the way out, we're in the souvenir shop. and they want to buy this rubbishy little toy, and I know they're never going to use it again. And so we say no. I say no. Well, you would have thought by their response that I was a monster. You know, they were practically crying out, "You're a monster. It's not fair. Don't you care about me? Don't you have compassion? You're going to leave me here to die in this souvenir shop." And I kind of just wanted to say to them, "Don't you see how much I love you? All these things I've given you today that you don't need at all. I've spoiled you in so many ways. And here you are complaining because I'm not giving you the wind-up toy or whatever that was." And so often with God, we forget, we think he's this grumpy, stingy God. We forget all the good things he gives us. All the things he lavishes on us that we do not deserve. All the blessings. Now, yes, sometimes when we ask God for things, he does say no. Sometimes he says not yet. But he is a generous God. He's blessed us in every way. He's given us Christ. He loves us and he cares for us and he wants to meet our needs and more. Number three. This one's a little bit different, surprising. We have a father who disciplines. We have a father who disciplines. Everyone goes through moments in their life which are hard. You might be going through that this morning. You may have lost a job. You may be having a relationship crisis, a health diagnosis, whatever it might be. We all go through these moments, don't we? And in those moments, it is tempting to think, does God still love me? And the Bible says, even in those worst moments of your life, he is still a heavenly Father who loves you. Listen to Hebrews chapter 12 and how it describes human fathers and our heavenly Father. It says this, Hebrews 12 verse 5, "The Lord disciplines the one he loves. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it." I've learned as a dad that often it would be easier for me not to discipline my kids. You know, the easier route often is for me to just kick back and relax and ignore whatever argument is going on, because, you know, otherwise I have to pick a fight or I have to enforce something. It'd be easier for me to just be lazy, not do anything about it. But because I love my kids, I want to discipline them. I don't want them to make foolish decisions. I don't want them to have to grow with a character that isn't like Jesus. I want to care for them. I love them. And this passage says that is the same with God, our Heavenly Father. He disciplines his children. Sometimes during the hardest moments of our life, God is teaching us something. He may be helping us repent of a sin in our life. He may be challenging us to be patient or to depend on him or trust him. When you go through hard times, it doesn't mean that God the Father has left you, that he doesn't love you anymore. You're still under his loving hand. He may be growing and disciplining you. Now, that doesn't mean that we go, "Give me more hard times, God." You know, it doesn't mean we become masochists. "Discipline me, God. Give me hard moments. I want more." No. It also doesn't mean that, you know, if you're going through a hard time, you just got to say, "Oh, well, cheer up. Be happy. I'm sure God's teaching me something. This is all good in the end." Now, the hard times are still really hard. You don't have to be fake here. Often we won't see what God's doing until hindsight. And we look back and then we say, oh, that's what God was teaching me. That's what God was growing me in. And of course, tragically, many parents discipline in an abusive way. And again, that's where we've got to be careful to not import the fallen experiences we have of earthly fathers onto the heavenly Father. Because our perfect heavenly Father disciplines us for our good, it says there. Even in the worst moments of our life, we are still under our Father's loving care and instruction. So we've got a Father who listens. We've got a Father who provides. We've got a Father who disciplines. And lastly, God is our Father who forgives. You remember the story of the prodigal son, where father has a son who ran away, wasted his father's possessions, insulted his father's reputation, and he hits rock bottom, and he comes back to his dad. And his dad, he could have said, how could you, son? He could have laid the guilt on his son. How could you do this to me? His father could have made his son pay it all back. His father could have made his son be a slave and earn his way back into the family. But what does he do? He runs to his son with open arms. In that moment, in this story Jesus tells, he is telling us what God the Father is like. That whatever we have done, however far we have ran from him, his arms are open. He's ready to forgive. He gave up his son for you at the cross to pay for your sins. And so you can return and receive his love. If you've never done that, if you've never trusted in Jesus and come back to God, don't delay. His arms are open. He loves you and he wants you to be his child. And if in the last few weeks or days you have sinned and failed like we all do, come back to his arms of grace. Confess and remember again how much he loves you. Because his arms are always open. Friends, this is our Father. This is the Father that all parents, those of you who are parents in the room, we're to model our parenting off the perfect Father. This is the Father that every one of us needs. None of us have had a Father that comes close to a Father like this, to the Father, the perfect, loving, eternal Father who listens, who provides, who disciplines, and who forgives. You may not have had an earthly dad like this, but in Christ you have a perfect dad. 1 John chapter 3 says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you're the God who hears our prayers. That we can come before you now as children and call upon your name. Father, we thank you that you meet all our needs. That you love us and care for us deeply. We thank you, Lord, that even in the hardest moments of our life, we are still under your loving hand. And we thank you most of all that you're a God of grace and compassion and forgiveness, who has welcomed us home through Jesus. Lord, help us to honour you, our Heavenly Father, in all we say and do. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.